Hello, my name is David Rakel. I am the director of the University of Wisconsin Integrated Medicine Program within the Department of Family Medicine. And I'd like to explore with you today non-pharmaceutical approaches to lowering cholesterol. Often we see patients who develop side effects from a statin or are philosophically against taking a pill and they want something else or more natural. And often we will explore with them the benefits of nutrition. And if you look at some of the key research on nutrition and the benefits of the Mediterranean diet seems to trump statins by 3 times for prevention of a secondary heart attack. If you look at some of the best statin trials, the benefits are quite impressive at reducing the risk of a second heart attack by 30%. But the Lyon Diet Heart Study showed that with a Mediterranean diet, the risk was reduced by almost 70%. The other benefits of nutrition is that nutrition beyond the pill also incorporates the synergy of multiple chemicals that are found within nature that likely benefit more than just heart disease and cholesterol. So you're not only lowering cholesterol, but you're also very likely reducing the risk of cancer and other chronic diseases. So what are the key ingredients found within the Mediterranean diet that seem to make it so healthy? Well, one are the omega-3 fatty acids found in cold water fish and nuts. These omega-3 fatty acids have been found to significantly reduce inflammation and the risk of heart disease as well as heart attacks. The Gizi study of more than 11,000 Italian men showed that 850 milligrams of fish oil reduced the risk of a second heart attack by 45%, which is quite impressive for the cost-benefit ratio of fish oil. The other things that the Mediterranean diet has is lots of fruits and vegetables have a lot of plant sterols and stanols. Plant sterols and stanols are the cholesterol that the plant makes. Plants can make them, but humans cannot. When humans eat the vegetable, which consists of high levels of plant sterols and stanols, those plant cholesterols prevent the absorption up to 50% of cholesterol from our intestinal tracts. Mediterranean diet also has whole grain, which is rich in viscous fiber, which we will talk about. It has a lot of dark black and purple colored grapes and berries, which have proanthocyanidins and flavonoids, which help keep the blood vessels flexible. And the Mediterranean diet is also very low in saturated fat, which helps lower LDL cholesterol. It's low in dairy as well as red meat. It also has garlic and onions, and it's funny, those foods that seem to make us smell the most are often most good for us. Garlic in a capsule, though, does not really work, but when we chop garlic up, it activates allicinase, which produces allicin, which really seems to have health benefits for both blood pressure and cholesterol. But the whole food used in whole food nutrition seems to trump the pill, because when that garlic is chopped up in the factory and put in a capsule, that active ingredient ages and degenerates over time and is not beneficial when you take the garlic possibly 6 or 7 months later after it was chopped up. So use garlic as a whole food in your everyday nutrition. The key components of the Mediterranean diet were then looked at in a study called the Portfolio Diet. The Portfolio Diet was a diet that showed that specific key ingredients of the Mediterranean diet lowered cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, by approximately 30%. And this was equivalent to 20 milligrams of lovastatin. The ingredients of the Portfolio Diet were 30 grams of almonds. Now, you always want to see who's sponsoring the study, and this study was sponsored by the California Almond Growers Association. Almonds are a great source of fiber and omega-3 fatty acids, but so are walnuts and cashews and Brazil nuts. So it doesn't have to just be almonds. But this study used 30 grams of almonds daily. That's about 23 almonds or 1 ounce or a handful of nuts. It also included 20 grams of viscous fiber, and this can include psyllium or guar gum or oats. It included 50 grams of soy protein, foods such as tofu, soy milk, and it also included 2 grams of the plant sterols or stanols, and this was ingested in the form of some margarine spreads such as Benecol or Take Control that were fortified with these plant sterols and stanols. Now let's look at each of these ingredients of the portfolio diet and try and understand why they lower cholesterol. The first, almonds, are a great source of fiber, and they also are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. And the viscous fiber has also been found, like nuts, to inhibit the absorption of cholesterol from the gut. Now, viscous fiber, or soluble fiber, meaning fiber that absorbs water, does three things well in health, particularly when we're trying to reduce the risk of heart disease. First of all, it inhibits the absorption of cholesterol. Second of all, it lowers the glycemic index, or the speed of sugar or carbohydrate absorption into the bloodstream. And when we lower the speed of glucose production, we also lower triglycerides, because when sugar is not being used in our muscles as energy with exercise, and we have excess sugar or carbohydrates lying around in our bloodstream, our liver produces triglycerides to go and grab it and store it in our body as fat. So the treatment for hypertriglyceridemia is not a low-fat diet, it's a low-carbohydrate diet. The third thing that viscous fiber does well is it absorbs water. And when it absorbs water in your stomach, it makes you feel full and it stimulates satiety. So if you have a diabetic or someone with heart disease, having them take 1 teaspoon of a viscous fiber such as psyllium, which is Metamucil or in a number of different forms, or guar gum, which is found in the brand name Benefiber. Many people like guar gum a little bit better than psyllium because it's less gritty. Or they can ground flaxseed. Flaxseed is a great source of viscous fiber, but it also is a great plant source of omega-3 fatty acids. Other good sources of viscous fiber are oats, oatmeal, oat bran. Pectin is another great fiber. Pectin is found in apples, and it's also the white stuff around oranges. Try not to peel that stuff off. It's rich in pectin, and it's really good at lowering cholesterol. So viscous fiber slows the absorption of sugar when we use it before a meal, which helps reduce insulin as well as carbohydrate levels and lowers triglycerides. It prevents the absorption of saturated fat and cholesterol from our gut, and it stimulates satiety if we use it before meals so we don't eat as much, and it helps with weight loss. Three very important things when we're trying to treat diabetes or cholesterol or reduce the risk of heart disease. So viscous fiber, you know, if there's a magic bullet out there that doesn't cost much, and the side effects are mainly GI, which can be somewhat unfortunate at times, but you can titrate the dose to reduce the amount of gas or gastric distension. The next part of the portfolio diet is the soy protein, and soy protein is also rich in beta-sitosterol, and it's also a good source of fiber. This is probably the hardest aspect of the portfolio diet because it requires 50 grams of this soy protein. You can get about 10 grams of soy in 1 to 2 cups of soy milk, or 4 ounces of tofu, or 1 ounce of soy flour. And this is often one of the harder ingredients for people to ingest. And lastly, the beta-sitosterol, or stanol. These can be found in some spreads that people can use on food. But the problem with that is there's about 1 gram of beta-sitosterol, or these plant sterols or stanols, in 1 tablespoon of spread. And if you're using that much spread on food each day, you're probably going to significantly increase your total calorie count, and it's going to be hard to lose weight. So I encourage people just to eat the vegetables, because vegetables are a great source of plant sterols and stanols, and they can just be incorporated into their regular diet, and they don't have to go out and buy something other than just good vegetables, which we all need more in our diet anyways. So that's the portfolio diet. Again, found to work as well as 20 milligrams of lovastatin, and the benefits of the Mediterranean diet and the portfolio diet probably go beyond just reducing cholesterol. When we're trying to reduce triglycerides, as we mentioned, triglycerides are elevated, particularly with the metabolic syndrome, where they have a high triglyceride level and a low HDL. And if you think about that metabolic process, we have excess sugar circulating in the bloodstream, which leads to more circulating insulin and the development of insulin resistance. So if we have high triglycerides, we mainly want to focus on incorporating a low glycemic index, a low glycemic load diet. So the glycemic index is how quickly a sugar is absorbed into our bloodstream after we eat a food, and the glycemic load incorporates the amount of sugar per serving in that meal. So let's take, for example, watermelon. Watermelon, the sugar in watermelon or the carbohydrate in watermelon actually has a pretty high glycemic index of about 72. But if you look at watermelon, it's mostly water. A very little of that whole watermelon is carbohydrate. So we'd have to eat about 9 or 10 watermelon for this to make a significant difference. So despite the glycemic index of watermelon being high, the glycemic load of watermelon is actually quite low and safe. Versus chocolate cake, the size of a watermelon. The glycemic index of chocolate cake is going to be high, and so is the glycemic load because it's all sugar or it's all carbohydrates. So a recent study just published in JAMA in 2007 showed that if we can check a glucose tolerance test where we give someone 75 milligrams of dextrose and then 30 minutes later check their serum insulin level, the higher the serum insulin level or the more insulin resistance, they used a cutoff of 57. If the serum insulin was greater than 57, those patients responded much greater in regards to weight loss with a low glycemic load diet. And this makes sense. So what we're trying to do with a low glycemic load diet is present foods that are absorbed very slowly. And when that sugar is absorbed very slowly, our body produces less insulin. And insulin acts as a growth hormone. And as you know, whenever we put someone on insulin for diabetes, they often gain weight. So if we can enhance insulin sensitivity and reduce serum insulin levels, we're going to help that person lose weight. And often that's going to have a beneficial influence on their total cholesterol level. So I think what this study is going to help us learn is how we can see if someone is insulin resistant. If their insulin levels are high, they're going to do much better with a low glycemic load diet, whereas that's not going to have as much of an impact on LDL cholesterol. Still, if their LDL cholesterol is high, they're going to do better with a low-fat diet, low saturated fat diet, less dairy, less red meat, less fried foods. Okay, now let's look a little bit at nutritional supplements for reducing cholesterol. Fish oil. Fish oil is kind of a no-brainer these days. The research is very promising. The potential side effects, other than burping up fishy taste, are quite low. We encourage people to freeze the capsules, the fish oil capsules, and take them before bed. So if you swallow a frozen fish oil, it's likely going to thaw lower in the GI tract, so you're going to have less of a belching problem. If someone's belching a whole lot of fishy taste, I encourage them to change brands or products. And a lot of times they might be dealing with some spoiled fish oil. But fish oil works best at reducing triglycerides. It doesn't work as well on LDL cholesterol, but it has been found that when you combine fish oil with a statin, it helps a statin work better. And then the fish oil also reduces the inflammatory markers in the body, which also has that benefit. When you dose fish oil, you want to add the EPA and the DHA together, the eicosapentaenoic acid and the docosahexaenoic acid. You look on the label and you find out, usually it's a 3-to-2 ratio, EPA to DHA, and you want to add those two numbers together. So if it has 600 milligrams of EPA and 400 milligrams of DHA, that's 1,000 milligrams or a gram of fish oil. Again, the Gezi study showed that 850 milligrams of the DHA plus the EPA reduce the risk of a second heart attack by almost 45%. But if you're going to use fish oil to treat hypertriglyceridemia, you need higher doses. You need 4 grams a day of fish oil to have an effect on lowering triglycerides. Again, it's not just the fish oil. They also need to change their diet and push that sugar into their muscle through exercise to lower insulin levels and also triglyceride levels by lowering sugar levels. Other supplements that once were thought to have benefit in lowering cholesterol, but subsequent research found them really not to be of benefit. Probably the biggest one is polycosanol, which majority of the research was done in one lab in Cuba. Subsequent research in Europe found this really not to work any better than placebo. I used to prescribe polycosanol, now I do not. Gugu lipid is an Ayurvedic plant that was found to help lower lipids in some studies. Again, better research found this not to have a significant effect on cholesterol. It is a good source of fiber, and it's a great plant to eat. Same with garlic, as we already described. Garlic in pill form really does not have a significant impact on cholesterol. And remember, triglycerides or fish oil is mainly used for lowering triglycerides. The best things in supplement form for lowering cholesterol outside of the Mediterranean diet and good nutrition include red yeast rice. Now, red yeast rice is rice that is steamed and then exposed to a yeast, and that yeast ferments, and that creates this supplement that is pretty much identical to statins. So if your patient is on red rice yeast, they're pretty much taking a statin, and you should probably check liver function tests and follow that closely. The next one is beta-sitosterol. And again, these are the plant sterols or stanols, which inhibit the absorption of cholesterol from the intestinal tract. This can be used at a dose of 900 to 1,000 milligrams before each meal, and this does come in supplement form. But again, I think we should encourage our patients just to eat vegetables, because all vegetables, including soy and olive oil, are rich in beta-sitosterol. Think of beta-sitosterol as the nutraceutical equivalent of Zetia. They work very similarly, and one is in supplement form and the other is pharmaceutical. Very similar to statins, you would also think it red yeast rice is also very similar to a statin because that's its chemical structure. So the nutraceutical equivalent of a statin and Zetia is red yeast rice and beta-sitosterol. There's some promising research on artichoke leaf extract. This has also been found in some limited studies to inhibit the production of cholesterol from the liver. Again, these are preliminary and more research needs to occur. Now, one supplement that has been around for a long time and in my mind is one of the all-stars in cholesterol management is niacin. Niacin does everything well. It raises HDL, it lowers triglycerides, and lowers LDL, and if it wasn't for the darn flushing side effects, it would be a wonder drug in regards to cholesterol. So there are certain things that we can do to enhance the tolerability of niacin, and that's giving baby aspirin a half hour before dosing. The other big thing is start very low and gradually titrate up. I have people start at 100 milligrams twice a day of the immediate-release niacin, and every week they go up by 100 milligrams. So 100 milligrams twice a day for a week, 200 milligrams twice a day for a week, all the way up to 800 milligrams or so twice a day, and then recheck levels and see where they're at. All right. Well, just to summarize, if someone is not tolerable of a statin drug or they cannot tolerate pharmaceuticals, then we strongly encourage them to adopt a Mediterranean diet. If they need help within that Mediterranean diet to really focus on certain food groups that have a beneficial effect on lowering cholesterol, we incorporate the portfolio diet, which includes nuts. It doesn't have to just be almonds. It can be walnuts and Brazil nuts. We include soy protein, as well as beta-sitosterol or stanol, and viscous fiber. And this can be in numerous forms, including guar gum, psyllium, ground flaxseed, oat bran, and pectin. And then, if you want to use a supplement that may prove beneficial, niacin is one of the best. Beta-sitosterol is vegetable in a pill, more or less, and if given this before meals can be helpful. And then red yeast rice is more or less a statin drug and should be treated as such. And lastly, a study that has not yet been published but is in print in the American Journal of Cardiology showed that those individuals who did have myositis related to statin had significant improvement when they were given coenzyme Q10 with their statin. Now, this makes sense if you look at the Krebs cycle. I doubt many of you will go back and look at your Krebs cycle. But in order to create 2 ATP and energy in the muscle cell, coenzyme Q10 is needed. And in order to produce coenzyme Q10, our body needs HMG-CoA reductase. So if we inhibit HMG-CoA reductase, we also lower the serum levels of coenzyme Q10. And coenzyme Q10 is necessary for energy production within the muscle cell, actually every muscle cell, cardiac as well as skeletal. Coenzyme Q10 is needed for energy production. So it makes sense pathophysiologically that coenzyme Q10, as we raise levels when a statin is being used, should help prevent myositis. And this is the first well-done study to show that. This study compared coenzyme Q10 with 400 international units of vitamin E, and coenzyme Q10 reduced muscle pain by 40% compared to the vitamin E. So in the past, we knew that coenzyme Q10 was reduced when statins were used for cholesterol management, but we weren't able to make the case that supplementing actually helped prevent this until now. All right, that's it. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this. I hope it proves helpful in your clinical practice. Have a great day.